When we talk about protecting Black women, we're talking about creating community, safe community, not just for Black women, but amongst Black women. We have these labels that were given to us. We're the strong Black woman, the achieved Black woman, the angry Black woman, the aggressive Black woman, the independent Black woman, all labels that we somehow have to wear within our community, within our family, within this very society in this country that we call home. Black women in the United States face unique challenges that impact their mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health. Approximately 23% of Black women experience anxiety disorders that are often linked to factors such as intimate partner violence and discrimination. And all of us know where there's anxiety follows depression. An estimated 80% of Black women have encountered some form of trauma, including intergenerational trauma, childhood adversity, abusive relationships, and pregnancy-related trauma. Nearly 40% of Black mothers experience maternal mental health conditions. Compared to white women, Black women are twice as likely to face these conditions, but are half as likely to receive treatment. We already know that there's huge discrimination in our medical field when it comes to Black women speaking up and advocating for themselves when something feels off, when something feels wrong, when something hurts. Why? Because we're seen as the strong Black woman, the achieved Black woman, the aggressive Black woman, the independent Black woman. Black women have higher rates of chronic illnesses, including heart disease, hypertension, and diabetes. Black women also experience maternal mortality rates 3 to 4 times higher than those of white women. Now, I will say, I read an article recently that said maternal mortality rates are going down, thank God, but it's not getting any less for Black women. Black women are becoming the majority of those maternal mortality deaths. When we're talking about spiritual healing, a lot of Black women are starting to pull in this mind, body, spirit, holistic wholeness as their wealth, as their spiritual journey. Most Black women see practices such as prayer, church attendance, and are now adding in other spiritual activities that play a crucial role in managing stress and achieving overall well-being. Black women have historically demonstrated resilience and leadership in building communities, both through formal organizations and informal organizations. When we're talking about the nonprofit sector of leadership, Black women constitute a significant portion of the nonprofit workforce. Just in New York City alone, it has been estimated that 80% of the nonprofit workforce full of people of color. Within that 80%, majority of them are being women of color. The leadership roles serve nearly two-thirds, which is 64% of Black nonprofit CEOs are women. However, these leaders often oversee smaller organizations, with the largest share having budgets under 50K. So we're also looking at deficits of Black women being in leadership positions, whether it's for their own entrepreneurial business or in the nonprofit sector of, a bigger organization, not getting enough funding for staffing and for community projects. When we're talking about educational attainment and philanthropy, Black women earn degrees at a higher rate than any other demographic group, with a significant number holding advanced degrees. So we're talking about Black women having degrees beyond a bachelor's, right? We're talking about master's. We're talking about additional certificates. We're talking about doctorate degrees. This educational attainment is closely linked to their philanthropic activities as they leverage their knowledge and networks to support their community. Black women are the backbone of community. We are the backbone of this nation. Moving into social media and digital communities. Black women are active on social media platforms, using them to build community and share information. We utilize platforms like TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. We utilize those platforms, and they're mostly popular for the African American community, which serve as our space, yes, I'm saying ours, for advocacy and connection. When we're talking about community support, social media has become a vital tool for Black women to create supportive networks, share experiences, and mobilize for social causes, thereby strengthening our community bonds. We see a lot of our representatives, not just Black women, but also Latino and Latina women, really utilizing social media to elevate their cause, to elevate the people, and to ignite advocacy. A significant 78% of Black women have never participated in a mentorship program that was sponsored by their organization. What this does is it highlights a gap that in formal support structures, we're not giving opportunities to be able to elevate. Right? When we're talking about mentorships and professional development being offered by our agencies, by our workplace, we should be able to access the same amount of professional development as anyone else. This underscores the importance of community-based mentorship initiatives to support Black women in their professional health. In today's episode, we get to sit with a good friend of mine, someone I met through a coaching program years ago, on her journey through moving away from the day-to-day grind of being a psychologist and working in the hardcore system, prison system, and creating a beautiful space where she hosts retreats for Black and Brown women to come and heal, to let their hair down, and to reconnect and come back home to themselves. Let's get into this episode. Welcome to the Soul Work Podcast, a space where we dive into the journey of reconnecting with our body, our intuition, and our soul's true divine purpose. Each week, we will explore how to heal from within using body-centered wisdom, somatic and holistic healing practices, and engage in soulful healing and transformative conversations that will support you on your path to wholeness. In this podcast, we'll uncover ways to recognize the messages our bodies is sending us, transform old wounds, and step fully into our divine power. So whether you're here to break free from past patterns, build resilience, or simply deepen your soul's awareness, this space is dedicated to your growth, your healing, and your unique soul journey. So take a deep inhale and exhale. Settle in, grab your cup of tea, and let's do the soul work together. This is your Soul Work Podcast for your soul's work.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the Soul Work Podcast. Oh, there's my mic. My name is Love Ashley Elaine. And again, I am here to be your guide as we journey through doing the soul work for your soul's work. This episode, I am so excited to have with us Dr. Marcia. She is a highly accomplished clinical psychologist, manifestation coach, retreat host, wellness expert, and investor. My God in heaven. She is also trained and certified in breathwork. Prior to becoming a full-time business owner, Dr. Marcia spent about a decade working in prison mental health departments. I have so many questions about that across the United States. She quickly advanced in her career, obtaining her degrees by the age of 26 and rising through the ranks of the corporate ladder. However, after years in the system, she experienced burnout and took a pivotal step back in 2020 to focus on her true purpose. A series of traumatic events during that time led to a profound spiritual awakening, transforming her life and deepening her understanding of manifestation. Dr. Marcia now empowers others to manifest their desires using unique blends of spirituality, psychology, and science. In addition to her coaching work, Dr. Marcia hosts wellness retreats for women around the world, including destinations like Bali, Costa Rica, Mexico, Portugal, Ghana, and Colombia. These retreats offer a space for women to reconnect with themselves and rediscover their purpose. Soul Tribe family, welcome Dr. Marcia. How are you?
I'm good. Wow, like what an intro.
I always love to read everybody's bio because sometimes you just don't know until you hear it again. So it's always beautiful to hear back just all that you've accomplished, everything that you've done, and be able to reflect on your own journey.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm very interested in this transition from working in prisons around the US into manifestation coaching, the retreats, all of that. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah. Okay. So let me tell y'all. I have my doctorate in clinical psychology with a concentration in forensics. So what that basically means is I did a lot of work in the mental health field in different prisons and court systems throughout the country. And, you know, it was cool while it lasted. You know, it was not that bad. For me, at least up until 2020. And I also should mention that 2020 was like my Saturn return for all the astrology babes out there, the girlies that are into astrology. But I did not know what a Saturn return was at the time. I had no idea. But looking back, that's what it was. Anyways, so I worked my way up all the way to the corporate ladder, got my doctorate at like 26, did a whole lot of things at a very young age. And I started to experience true depression, true anxiety. And I was like, hold up, you know, like I cannot do this psychology stuff in this mental space. Like it's just not going to make it. So I decided to take sick leave in the beginning of 2020. So we're talking February, March, before we even knew what COVID was, when we thought it was all a joke in China.
Oh, wow.
Right. And I started to experience the depression, anxiety. I was like, I can't do this psychology stuff. Took sick leave. And literally within a 3-week span of me taking that sick leave, my aunt got sick with COVID, my grandma got sick with COVID, my aunt passed away, my grandma passed away. And then I had a near-death situation all happen. And I was like, oh, hell no. You know, like this, like what is going on? So I decided to quit my job. Ended up quitting my job. No backup, very little money saved because shout out to poor spending habits back then.
Hello, and, somebody.
Okay. And I just really started over. And, you know, at the time, like I didn't care about the degrees. I didn't care about the accolades. I didn't care about how much money I was making. What I cared most about was my peace and happiness. And I was just like, fuck it. You know, like,
yeah.
I really want to be happy. I just really want to be at peace. And I went on a pretty intense healing journey. And I had all these boundaries for myself, right? Like I was like, you know what? I'm not going to, definitely not going into the prison system. I'm not going into the hospital system. Hell no, not right now. I'm not going to teach. I'm not going to do private practice. Like, I wasn't going to do anything I could do with this degree. So I went on a pretty intense healing journey. And you name it, I did it. The yoga, the meditation, the sound healing, the breath work, the regular therapy, the hypnotherapy, acupuncture, cold punch. Girl, I did it all. Okay. And I started feeling better. And I was like, hold up. This kind of felt good, you know, like this feels good. And prior to me quitting my job, I was also a travel agent. So I used to like plan trips, put trips together, bring people to Colombia, like all the things. But what I noticed was there was just not a lot of spaces for Black women to heal. And I know as women, as Black women in the States, or you know, I have a following too. If people in the UK, we go through so much shit. We go through so much, and we sometimes forget who we are. And I personally wanted to bring this type of healing, to Black women because there's something powerful when we get together as a collective in a space out of the country holding each other while you know needing to cry, letting our hair down, not feeling like we need to be judged. So yeah, here we are. Here we are.
I love it. No, I love it. Because sometimes it takes us having our own spiritual awakening and going through our own death night of the soul. You know what I'm saying? Like it takes us going through our own experience of healing to really be able to see, right? Removing that veil of, okay, wait, something is missing, right? And it's not just missing for me, it's missing for a collective of people. That's why I think doing our individual healing work is so powerful because, as selfish as it might seem sometimes, right? And that was part of my thing. It was like, oh my God, but this is so selfish. It was like, no, girl, do it. It becomes selfless, right? You start to find something that just speaks to you in a way where it's like, I feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. I feel like these are the people I'm supposed to cater to. So, what was it like, really starting to dive into like, okay, now you see that there's a need, right? You're already in like the travel industry. I believe you've done like your own travel before even like starting the retreats. What was it like to start actually like planning these retreats and kind of figuring out, okay, like this is what the need is. How do I start getting that out? Because a lot of that purpose work too is entrepreneurship. Let's just call it what it is. So what was that like for you moving away from everything you've known career-wise into this newfound journey?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And I think one of the things that I did when trying to figure out what are the next steps, how do I make this, like, how do I turn this into something that's not only profound, but also like essentially entrepreneurship, a business. And what I did was I just essentially used me as an avatar because I was just like, if I'm going through this, there are other people that are going through this, and I am just going to help people that went through or are going through or experiencing or want the same things that I wanted, and just really start talking about me and my story. And I feel like whatever I was putting down, people will pick up. So that's kind of how I like kind of first identified my target audience, right? Or my ideal person was like, who is this woman? Well, this woman is me. And how can I help people like me? And then in terms of location, my first retreat was in Mexico. And my first retreat had two people. And I was just like, oh my God, why only two people signed up? You know, I had all these limited beliefs, like no one's gonna take me seriously, all the things. But you know what? I showed up and showed out for those two people. And I chose Mexico because Mexico is one of my favorite places in the world. I've gone to 20 plus, almost 30 countries now, visited over 30 states, and I've been to very exotic, quote unquote, places, but Mexico is just kind of where my heart is. So that's where I started. I started in Mexico because I love it. And I know people, it's low-hanging fruit for a lot of people. It's close to the States. And I have connections out there because Mexico is somewhere I frequent, probably go there like 2 or 3 times a year. So, yeah.
I love it. I haven't been to Mexico yet. It's on my list of places along with 30 other countries. That's beautiful. So transitioning into like, I love how you talked about like you being your own avatar, right? And I think people, there's this thing like sometimes that happens in entrepreneurship where it's like the savior complex, right? It's like I want to save everybody, but it's like, if you're doing something for everybody, you're not helping anybody. So to narrow it down to, okay, the only story I know of is mine, and I know that there's other people who find relatability within that, and then making you your avatar, we'll strip it down to now Black women, right? Black women in America, and I'm pretty sure, like you said, in the UK, we deal with so much systemic racism because we're Black and because we're a woman, right? Just from your experience as, working in prisons, have you worked in like the women's prisons at all or dealt with that? What was that like?
Well, women's prisons was very interesting. It was definitely very, very interesting. I've done that for not a long time. But there is a lot of like systematic racism, there's a lot of sexism, there's a lot of things in the system in America in general where, Black women or women in general, we have to work harder. The experience was it is different, right? It is definitely different. And even working in a system like that, there's different rules, there's different regulations. You have to essentially like kind of pivot. The way women respond to things are very different than the way men respond to things.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, people that are in prison, they're regular people. Like they're regular people that have done some things. And when you strip away what they have done and then look at the person, they're still at the end of the day human. Now, not making excuses for what they've done, all the things, there's all types of stories I've heard, I've experienced, and I've seen. But I do think when it comes to like the systematic racism and like sexism and all the stuff that can happen, whether in the prison system or whether in just in life, it is very different and it's hard to navigate. And I do see women, it's the same thing. It's essentially the same thing inside and outside, right? Like you have to work 2 times harder to get what you want. You have to advocate constantly. You have to, like unfortunately, sometimes we don't want to present as the angry black woman, but sometimes we kind of have to in order to prove our point. And then, society is like, oh, aha, there she is. But it's like, no, you're not even listening to me. This is unfair. And now I have to like speak with my chest because,
You won't listen the first time.
hello. So, I think stripping away, like, yes, there's a lot of rules, there's regulations, but at the end of the day, they're people. We're people. We're all women. And I do think there's levels of still needing to advocate extra hard to get what we want.
And in terms of healing, one, so let me start with this question. I have every time, like, I always have like so many questions. I'm such a Gemini. My mind just floods. So was
It.
is there anything from like that part of your life, right, that you as you were on your own healing journey, right, and coming into the retreat space, coming into like the holistic healing space, was there anything in that part of your life working in that system as a psychologist in, all of those things that you were just kind of like, okay, this is what I can bring into this space. This is what I can incorporate in a different way. I think sometimes when we're making those transitions, we're like, oh, I have to just leave all of that behind. When it's like, no, you can still make it work for you.
I think that's a really good question. And have I used other things? Have I used like my psychology background essentially into what I do now? So I am trained as a clinical psychologist, right? Like my background is in psychology, mental health, mindset, all of those things. And a lot of that I brought to the prison system. So I did like I like created like a old program where I was doing like meditation for transgender inmates, or I had like all these things like bringing into the system, into, I hate calling system, but it is a system, right? Into the environment. And now as a retreat host, right? I'm still using my psychology background, because a lot of the things that we do, but like I firmly believe everything starts with the brain. Everything starts with the mindset. Even when we talk about manifestation, right? Like the way I look at manifestation is through subconscious thinking, through the subconscious mind. And we have to first tap into the subconscious mind that will then help us help to rewire the subconscious mind. And in turn, when it comes to manifestation and the little woo stuff, right, you begin to change your vibrational energy through the subconscious thinking. And when you change your vibrational energy, you then attract what you actually want and what you actually need. So yeah, I think I use my degree like fully in it, right? Because everything that we talk about, everything that we discuss all starts with mindset. Like, how can we change? How can we address the traumas? This is another thing. Like, a lot of people that were in the prison system have a lot of traumas. We all have a lot of trauma. We have experienced a lot of things. Not everyone has gone from rags to riches, but there has been some sort of thing in someone's life, whether it's a parent that was addicted to substances, or you know, like all kinds of stuff. You know, we could go down the line of things. So during the retreats, we address the traumas. We address how can we actually heal? How can we, you know, forgive the people and the things that has caused us to behave or act in a certain way? There's really not much of a difference outside of the environment and the country that we do these things.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Speaking of mindset, because I know, especially with Black women, like you just mentioned, there's this plight that the Black woman is angry, and she's always angry. She's only angry. There might be like that one Black girl in the office where she's got like a unit on her face all the time. It's like, but you haven't asked her how she's doing today. You know what I'm saying? Like we're already presenting as defensive and showing up in a way where it might be like permanent resting bitch face or just don't, bother me. What is what how How has it been working with Black women on these retreats to actually break those walls and that exterior and to do that deep, intricate healing work?
Yeah, I think it, this is such a loaded question, right? Like working with Black women, and how has it been to, you know, have Black women, like, so basically what I'm asking Black women to do is, I know you found me on social media, right? Not only are you, what I'm basically asking you to do is trust me that you found on social media to bring you across the world to be with another group of random Black women. Like, that is so layered, because like initially, like Black women, it's twofold, right? We have trust issues. We don't know if people are going to be like, have mean girl energy. We don't know if they're going to talk shit about us. We don't know if they're going to judge us, right? And in the same breath, Black women, we are looking for community. We are looking for people, for women that get it. We are looking for women that can legit hold us and, you know, like, you know, tell us like, yo, sis, everything is going to be okay. And tell them like, you know, and I also have similar stories, not to trauma bond, but to also be like, I've been where you are and everything's going to be okay. There's something about another Black woman hearing another Black woman say like, yo, you're going to be okay and I'm here for you. So there's so many layers. Like I still don't know how I really don't know how I'm doing it all, right? Like I don't. And I think it's through prayer, God, universe, and ancestors at the end of the day, because it is a big ask for women to trust that we are going to be okay in another country, across the world, on another continent. And I'm so grateful for the women that have trusted myself and our team to take them to these places, because we are basically, when we get to these retreats, when we're in these places, like I tell people this is a vulnerable thing, and what we're not going to do is have any judgment. Like, it's a judgment-free zone, and I'm dead ass about that. Like, I do not play about that, and so far so good. No drama, no nothing. And I think that's like a breath of fresh air for us, because it's like, okay, I can let my shoulder down now and not have to have this defense, not ha I can actually be vulnerable. This is my one in a lifetime chance to be vulnerable, period. And what happens is, when someone else is being vulnerable in this group, in this community, other women are only going to, are going to start being vulnerable, right? Like, you have different types of people that come. You have the talkers, you have the shy ones, you have the defensive ones. And when you have the talker that pops up and starts telling them, then you have the shy one or defensive one saying, okay, no, this is okay. She did it, so I can do it too. And that's how it kind of eventually unfolds.
I love that. I love that. I think, first of all, I think community is, it has been underrated amongst Black women. And I'm sensing, like, especially with just how things have been politically, and I'm not talking about nothing politics, but it's part of our world right now, right? There's this gathering of Black women that is just like, hey, you know what? We don't want to do this anymore. We are tired. We want to mind our business and go do what it is that we need to do. And maybe it's, oh, she's planning a retreat in Bali. I just want to go to Bali. Let me see what this is all about, right? Or maybe it's time for me to do some healing work. I don't know what else to do outside of therapy, but this is tugging at me. Let me see what this is all about and go to Bali. You know what I'm saying? How is it getting, like, introducing these holistic modalities to Black women? Because I come from a background where it's like, in the Black family, you've made it back to church. You doing the right thing. You about to change your life. And it's just like, right? It's not this or that. It's this and that, at least for me, right? So how is it getting Black women to engage in breath work, engage in yoga, engage in even journaling?
No, that is such a good question, right? Like, 'cause one of the questions I get outside of who all gonna be there, right? Because these women want to know who gonna be there, like, for real, like, you know what I'm saying? And the other question is like, I don't know. This is kind of skeptical. I've had that before. I've had like, is this ungodly? And I'm just like, I get why women think that, and I'm just like, no, it's not ungodly. We are not doing anything, that's quote unquote bad, from a religious perspective. There is a lot of over-explaining, right? Like, for example, the breath work. I look at a lot of things from different perspectives, right? With my background in psychology to spirituality to energy. With breath work, for example, like, I let people know the science behind it, because there's so much science behind breath work. There's so many changes that can happen just through one session. I've seen people quit smoking, lose weight. Like, I've seen all kinds of things just through breath work. So there's a science part, there's a psychological part. When we talk about like the theta brain waves, when we're getting into the breath work, we're tapping into the theta brain waves, which then means that we're able to tap into the subconscious mind, which me that means we're able to manifest. And then the manifestation part is a little woo, right? Because people are like, how am I going to attract something that I can't even see, because we're so tangible in America. And then I further explain that piece too. So I think, and you know what? Like, although there's sometimes people that are skeptical, they are also like low-key curious, and they're or high-key, and they're wanting to try something different, because all the things that they have tried hasn't worked. So they're just like, fuck it. What is the harm? Because at the end of the day, we're not doing anything demonic, and they understand that. Like, I make like, of course, I'm not doing anything demonic, right? So we make that very, very clear. And they're like, you know what? I do want to try this yoga stuff. Like, I've seen it, I heard about it, I've never done it. I want to try breath work. What is breath work? You're like, well, why am I breathing? Like, what does that even mean? And when I start tapping into, because you have different types of people, right? You have people that are very logical, the sciencey people, the show me proof, and the science is the show me proof. And then you have the people that are like, I just think it works. I don't know why. You just start talking about that piece. So I think like just bringing that ease to them with showing them like, hey, there's all aspects to this thing. Same thing with yoga. Yoga is the same thing. There's a psychological piece. There's a science piece. There's a spiritual and manifestation piece to yoga. And then our workshops touch on different things. Like some of our workshops, like I've had women say, I don't know what I'm getting myself into, but I know I need to release. And when they go, we're screaming in the middle of the jungle. We're crying. We're letting things go. Black people haven't experienced that. And it is scary. And sometimes people are like, they're kind of shy. They don't want to do it because they don't want to be judged. They don't want to, like, God forbid, I'm screaming in the middle of the jungle, for example. If I do that, now I'm showing that I'm weak, and I can't show that I'm weak because America told me I have to be strong. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why people like coming on the retreat, because they're like, I'm going to do something different. This is a once in a lifetime chance, and I'm about to do this.
Yeah. Ooh, I love that. And I love how you said America, right? Not my mom, not my spouse, not my brother, not my father, not my friends, not my community. America, right? I got chills because it's a reminder that a lot of the trauma that we don't have to deal with that has been passed on generationally, that I believe our generation is the one doing the deep, heavy cleansing and removal of all of it, right? It's all systemic. It's all coming from when that Constitution was first written. It's all coming from when the enslaved people were coming to America. It's all coming from a beginning that we didn't ask for, that we were forced into, right? So I am a firm believer that, and hearing you say that, I'm a firm believer in you can't heal in a place that breaks you. Right? So it's now moving away from that traumatic relationship or that traumatic household or that community that is not, offering me anything more than the gun violence and the gangs, and even if there's none of that, like there could be none of that going on and still not offer you anything, right? It's now deeper than I can't heal on a land that doesn't make me feel like home, that doesn't give me permission to be authentically me without judgment, right? So I'm all for traveling and doing the healing, right? Because if you think about it, our bloodline is from these other countries.
Everywhere else except here, Everywhere, literally.
Literally, yeah. So screaming in the jungle, that once upon a time was a thing, right? That once upon a time was a thing, but somewhere along the line, Africans came to America and we got stripped of the identity and the true richness of our culture, of our truth, right? And not even Africans. We're talking about West Indies. We're talking about Latinos. We're talking about Latinos and Latinas. We're talking about Caribbeans. We're talking about everything other than Caucasian, right? So it's like you bring us here, you strip us of everything that we know, and then you're wondering why we can't emotionally regulate properly because you've taken everything that we've known.
Exactly. You hit the nail right on the head. It's just like, and I one of my things that I always say is like, we need to come back home to ourselves. Like, who are we?
Yes.
And I know you were asking earlier, like, how do I choose these places moving forward? For example, Costa Rica and Bali, like those Bali, I've been frequenting Bali more recently, gone to Costa Rica, and those
Beautiful.
because they also have energy vortexes there. Like, there's only a few in the world. And automatically, when you get to those places, especially Bali and Costa Rica, honestly, everywhere, but roll with you. Everywhere except America. But when you get
Literally.
to, literally, when you get to Costa Rica, Bali, for example, you automatically feel better. And it's like, you see these memes that go around, like, just got off the plane and my stress melted away. Like, yes, and because you're probably in an energy vortex where the energy, the like, Scientifically, right? Like studies show that there's parts of the earth that has combined in a certain way that has allowed us to feel better because of the elements, because of the crystals that are actually a part of a volcano or whatever. You know, like all the things, or even like Ghana, going to Ghana this year, and Ghana's focused on real estate. There's going to be is wellness meets real estate, and we're talking about how to buy back our land. And I specifically, this is our first time going to Africa, and I specifically chose Ghana because outside of it being a hot place, but there's a lot of people that aren't us that are going into buying a lot of the things now because of the citizenship. There's just a lot of things that has changed down in Ghana, and like. Nah. We need to go back home. We need to go back home. We need to go back home, period. And on top of that, also being a highly requested place to go, and obviously like our ancestors being there and being from there, and just being back where we were from, you know?
Man, I'm so glad you mentioned those energy vortexes because it's a very real thing. You think about how spirituality is practiced in those places too. When I went to Cambodia, literally what you mentioned is what I felt. It's like the minute the air hit me, I was just like, "Ooh, I don't know what just happened." But I'm here for it to the point where, like, I was FaceTiming friends and, like, my godmother, and they're like, "You don't look the same. Like, you don't look the same at all." And I was like, "Well, that's the point. So that means whatever is happening here is happening, right?" Any final thoughts? Anything you want to leave our listeners with? I love the work that you're doing. Thank you for creating space, holding space for Black women to be vulnerable, to heal, to reconnect to not only their selves, like come back home to themselves, but come back home to their ancestors, the land that they may have ancestors connecting with other ancestors with, to open up that gate for them. I always say, just because we go to a certain land doesn't mean that we're welcome there. So when we are there, when we're welcome there, that means our ancestors have opened up something in conjunction with another set of ancestors that says, "Hey, my daughter needs to be on this land. Can we make room for her?" And they're like everybody thinks they're privy to just travel and go to wherever they want to. That's not always the case either, but that's a different podcast
Yeah, I think one of my last thought or advice or whatever is like, it is okay, Black woman, to be vulnerable. It is okay to let your hair down. And I also want to say that it's also okay to try new things because sometimes we are so wrapped up in the quote unquote rat race where we feel like we have to do this certain thing or else. Even with me and my story, right? Like I'm from a Jamaican background, so it's very much you need to work hard, you need to get a good education, and then taking the bold move of quitting, no backup as a doctor is insane. It's insane, unheard of. I was like, yeah, my family's gonna disown me. They did not.
Thank praise
Thank God,
God.
because why would they do that? But I was really afraid, and I don't know who needs to hear this, but it is okay to take that leap because you just never know what's on the other side. And I'm not saying that for a retreat. I'm talking about in life in general. A lot of times people know what they want to do, but they don't do it because they're scared. They don't know what's going to happen on the other side. They don't know, they don't know if this thing is going to work out. And we are in this thing of I am safe here because I'm getting paid weekly, bi-weekly, monthly. I have the insurance. I have is a safety net, but most people I talk to are genuinely unhappy with what they're doing, and they know they need to do more, but they don't do more because they are afraid of what's going to happen, though that idea is on their heart. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of times, like most people aren't thinking about becoming an astronaut. Like you're not
Yeah.
thinking about becoming an astronaut. So I say that to say whatever thought, whatever idea that you have, is probably placed on your heart from God, from the ancestors, from the universe. So what makes you think you're gonna fail at it? You're not thinking about
Hello.
astronaut, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I say that to say just step out, take that leap of faith, right? And just go for it.
Yeah, I always say if it's God's will, then it's his bill.
Okay.
Because there's some leaps that I've taken, Dr. Marsha, and I'm just like, all right, God, I keep getting all your little synchronicities. We just gonna do it, and it works out. It works out. It works out. That's how you move from surviving to thriving, is trusting.
Trusting, yeah. And it's scary, right?
Very, very.
It's scary. I'm scared all the time. People are like, how you doing? I'm like, I don't know, God himself, because
Literally.
it is scary. It sometimes is unpredictable. I mean, it's business, a new business, relatively like startup or however you want to term it, coin it, however,
Yeah.
and I just a lot of times surrender because like
You have to.
I don't think God put me in this place to leave me now. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't think he I don't think God is in the sky looking at me and saying, yeah, I want you to fuck up. Like
Right.
I don't think that's how it works.
No.
That's
Yeah.
just
One. No. Yeah. One of my favorite scriptures, and this seems to be, I gotta add this somewhere, is John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And sometimes we've already allowed the thief to steal because we won't make a move and trust that that abundance is on the other side. So even the mind shift work that you do is like, I don't think people really understand how valuable it is to pay attention to your thoughts, right? Like what you're thinking, right? I teach metacognition too, is like replacing a thought with a thought. So it's like when that thought comes in, what are you replacing it with? When you start to remove these seeds, what are you replacing it with? Right, being mindful of the people that you're around. How are they speaking when you're sharing certain ideas? How are they speaking about that idea? Right, like the mind is a powerful place,
It
powerful
is. It
place.
really, really
So,
is.
yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Dr. Marsha, for being here with us and being with the Soul Tribe family. And we will be right back. That was a beautiful conversation with Dr. Marsha. I hope it blessed all of you. I hope you've taken something from it. I hope you give yourself permission, especially my Black and Brown women listeners in the Soul Fam, the Soul Work Tribe. I hope you give yourself permission to let go. To surrender and to heal, whatever it looks like, whatever needs to be healed, right? I don't know who this is for, but you are the chosen one for your family. I know it's heavy, I know it's hard, but you may be the chosen one to teach your family and the generations coming after you what rest looks like, right? What saying no looks like, right? What not hustling and grinding so hard to exhaustion looks like, right? There's a lot of things that come with being a Black woman, and a lot of it that we take on and take in is not healthy. So we have to rewrite the narrative, right? We have to rewrite what our story is for our daughters coming up. I always think about my little cousins. They're not that little, but in my mind, they're still little, right? But I always think about them, like and my nieces. Just what does it mean to be a Black woman not the stereotype of what America wants a Black woman to be, but what does it actually mean to be a Black woman, period, right? Y'all know I'm a little travel fiend, so I'm down for healing in a place that is not home so that I could find home within me. I love all of you for free. Happy International Women's Month. I know International Women's Day has passed. Love on your friends. Love on each other. Love on yourself. Take care.